May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Some decades ago, the Roman Catholic Church was looking for a motto to express what it was all about. A slogan to tell the world who they were and what they were for. They came up with this: "We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song." The story goes that a vicar heard about this and wondered what an Anglican equivalent might be. His Church of England version sounded like this: "We are a Christmas people, and Once in Royal David City is our song." There's some truth there, at least in terms of congregation sizes here at St. Michael's. This is Easter Day and folk have turned out, but Easter worship brings hundreds to church. In December we have thousands coming here for carol services. There are many, many who will visit the crib but do not come to the cross. Lots who will go to the stable who shy away from the empty tomb. And why should this be, I often wonder? Could it be that Christmas is cozy and homely and warm and nice? It's all about families and shelter and love and light in the darkness of winter. It has at its heart the birth of a baby. What's not to like about that? And it's sprinkled with the innocence of childhood. Easter, on the other hand, is altogether darker and stranger. Its story is filled with violence and hatred and death, the kind of things from which we want to shelter the children, surely. Christmas can be understood as the story of a human birth. Easter is about the bursting in of resurrection life. Life that's strange and challenging, that stretches and strains our notion of what's true and really real. Easy to be Christmas people and sing Once in Royal David City. More demanding, perhaps, to be Easter people whose song is Alleluia. And yet, no Easter and there is no Christmas. If Jesus does nothing to change things on the cross, there's no point fussing about the crib. If there was no empty tomb, then the stable is empty of meaning. For Easter brings us to the heart of our faith, the core of those big issues, without which Christianity is just a hobby. No more life-changing than origami or American line dancing. Easter brings us to those massive claims about what God has done. What God has done for the past. What God is doing now. What God will do in the future. Those great claims that we rehearse week by week as we say our creed. Things like the forgiveness of sins that our reading from Acts mentioned, or the remission of sins as we find it in the Nicene Creed. This is all about God's power to deal with the past. Will you just reflect on your past for a few minutes? The life that you've lived? The experiences and the events that have brought you thus far? I wonder how it looks. I hope you could name plenty of successes that you're proud of, things that you've achieved, experiences that have been good and life-giving. But unless you're a saint, there'll be some stuff there that troubles you. Times of failure, moments of error, stuff that you got plain wrong, that brought harm to you and others around you. And you may wonder, can it be healed? Can it be changed? Or will the past always hold a grip? Will it always cripple? Early in my pastoral ministry, I visited a man, he was in late middle age at that time, who had clearly done something or thought that he'd done something unforgivable. And every time we spoke, he would mention it. And it clearly had him trapped. It had him a prisoner to his past. And sadly, no matter what I said or how I prayed, it seemed to help him find the release that Christ offers. But Easter says sin can be forgiven. It can be healed. The power of the past to stunt and limit us can be broken because of what Jesus does on the cross. We need not be captive to the flaws of our past or the wounds that others have inflicted upon us in their history. Easter says that Jesus offers the means of grace, the channel of mercy, that we can be freed from the burden of sin, released to sing Alleluia. And what of the future? Think of your view of the future right now. How does it look? Is it filled with hope and excitement? Is it sometimes tinged with fear and trepidation? For the young in church, I hope today that the future looks bright, that it offers a world of possibility and opportunity to grow and thrive and flourish. That's my prayer for you. And yet we know that too many young people in our society today don't always see the future like that, but rather worry whether they'll live up to expectations, whether it really will be as bright and shiny as the internet promises. And if we're a bit older today, then how's our future looking? As maybe health declines, the person that we were 5 or 20 or 50 or even 2 years ago seems to begin to vanish. How does the future look when death is not just a rumour, but something on whose door we may feel we're knocking? Again, I remember early in my service as a vicar visiting a lady who really struggled in her final year or so with cancer, a year of utter pain. But it was even worse when she came to die. She had a look of absolute anxiety, utter terror on her face. "Am I dying?" she asked me. And sadly, there was nothing that I could say, it seemed, to make that any less frightening a prospect. But Easter proclaims life everlasting. Easter proclaims that the future is in God's hands, not ultimately ours to make and shape and craft. The future, the glorious future that God wants for us, is offered as a gift. And all we have to do is receive it and say, "Thank you. Yes, I believe." Another reason to sing Alleluia this glorious day. In just a few moments, we will stand up and say, "We believe in the remission of sins and in the life eternal. We believe." For these claims about the past and the future are not obvious. They're matters of faith. The faith that was born on Easter Day, when the resurrection of the dead was witnessed for the first time in history. The faith born when the disciples saw Jesus alive with a new, transformed kind of life. When they saw that he'd come through suffering, through everything that evil could inflict upon him, that he had defeated the power of sin and death. The moment they saw that glimpse of eternal life, which was the promise of God for them. So, yes, December is only 8 months away. come back here and be Christmas people. And let's join together and sing once in Royal David City. Come back any Sunday in the meantime as well, because we celebrate resurrection every week. But when Christmas comes, yes, let's celebrate Christ's birth. But do so because of the life that it led to, and the strange and glorious death and rising again, which was its culmination. May we also be Easter people, this and every day, who make Alleluia to be our song.